I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. How a leader responds to a disaster is always significant. Remember President George W. Bush and Hurricane Katrina, or Prime Minister Naoto Kan of Japan and his awkward handling of the tsunami and Fukushima meltdown? So now when President Benigno Aquino of the Philippines goes to the center of Typhoon Haiyan's destruction in Tacloban and says he's not leaving until his people are safe, it's worth noting. Sincere or political rhetoric? That's what we'll explore in a moment. What's clear is that the destruction is unprecedented. One of the groups helping with the relief effort is the World Food Program of the United Nations. WFP Executive Director Etherin Cousin spent the weekend touring the regions around Tacloban and Cebu. She told me earlier that the devastation was profound.
I was at Katrina. I represent the United States during Haiti, and I can tell you that this is one of the worst disaster zones I've ever been in. This same time last week, you could not get into the city at all. We were able to reach 50,000 people in the entire affected area. By today, we've now reached almost 1 million people.
So what remains the biggest challenge now?
The biggest challenge now is going to be shelter. I was in a school where there were 200 families living in the school, which was probably close to about 2,000 people. And so we're talking about families lying side by side on the floor on mats. But what we're going to also need is to ensure that we can support the rehabilitation of the rice fields. Many of the rice paddies have been covered in mud. The planting season starts in December. If they don't get to plant in December of this year, come March of next year, they won't have any income at all. So you're talking about people who have lost everything from the typhoon, who could potentially now lose their livelihoods if we can't help them.
Ms. Cousin, what about livestock? How badly did they fare in the typhoon?
Well, it's interesting. Livestock in these particular communities is not a significant part of the livelihood equation. It's much more agriculture and fish. You have a lot of fisher folk in these areas. And unfortunately, many of the fish ponds suffered the same type of damage as the rice paddies. And now they're full of mud and many of the fish were killed, which is going to detrimentally impact the fisher folk to continue to receive income.
Etherin Cousin, the executive director of the World Food Program, speaking with us from Manila. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As we mentioned earlier, the president of the Philippines, Benigno Aquino, has also flown to the disaster zone. In fact, President Aquino is still there in Tacloban, and he says he's not leaving until he's certain the people are being helped. Aquino also slammed local authorities, blaming them for not being prepared for the typhoon's destruction. But Aquino is himself the target of widespread criticism over the speed with which his government has reacted to the calamity. John Seidel is at the London School of Economics and knows the Philippines quite well. So President Aquino blamed local governments today for a lack of preparedness. Is the president now dealing with the destruction of a storm and entering a political fray?
Well, he's been in a political fray for some time now. His remarks in the media and the slowness of the national government in responding to the typhoon and its aftermath have landed him in hot water in terms of media coverage and disputes with local officials and national politicians who are his opponents and critics.
Give us some background here. I mean, Benigno Aquino, the president, he's the latest in the Aquino political dynasty. Who were the other leaders in the Aquino family, and what cues has he taken from his family?
Well, he's the son of two famous former Philippine politicians. His father was Senator Benigno Aquino Jr., who was the leader of the opposition to Marcos in the late 60s, early 1970s, and then was thrown in prison under martial law, remained in prison, and then was sent into exile, where he remained in the United States until he returned to the Philippines in 1983, and he was shot dead, assassinated on his arrival in Manila. That's what really got the ball rolling in terms of a mass movement that ended up forcing out then-President Ferdinand Marcos in 1986. With his widow, Corazon Aquino, running for president in early 1986 and cheated out of victory through fraud by Marcos, but then allowed to assume the presidency after a failed military rebellion in February of that year.
Hasn't the Aquino family typically been really populist leaders?
the Aquino family, or rather the Cuanco family, which is the wealthy family that the president now, his mother comes from. The Cuanco family, it's a landed family with a history of business and land ownership. So it has a kind of reputation for opposing dictatorship. And the current president has something of a reputation, at least until recently, of being a well-intentioned promoter of reform, someone who has no history of sort of personal corruption or avarice that might, you know, bring his reputation down.
Should we be seeing Aquino's arrival and promise to stay in Tacloban as a kind of campaign stop? I mean, when is the next presidential election?
The next presidential elections are in 2016. He can't run for office for a second term. The Constitution makes that impossible. He has a single six-year term. But Mar Rojas, the Secretary of Interior and Local Government, is the presumed anointed successor for Aquino. The problem, though, is that the Aquino administration has begun to lose its popularity. Mar Rojas is not particularly popular himself, and the current vice president, Jojo Binay, who hails from the opposition party, he's seen really as the front runner and has been seen as the front runner even before this crisis. So insofar as the typhoon, its aftermath, and the Aquino government's widely perceived weak, belated, ineffectual, maybe irresponsible response to the typhoon makes it all the more likely that President Aquino will be in a weak position to anoint a successor in 2016.
John Seidel, professor of international and comparative politics at the London School of Economics. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
The frustration with the government isn't limited to those living in the Philippines. Millions of Filipinos live abroad, and they're growing increasingly impatient with the relief effort. The World's Leo Hornack met with a group of Filipino expats in London.
When you're waiting for news of your family, sometimes it's the ordinary things that remind you most of home, like preparing a meal.
My family, I didn't hear from them for a few days. I was thinking, are they eating anything at this time? Are they hungry? Are they thirsty?
That's Kathleen Dar. She's one of about 30 Filipinos here in London who've crowded into one family's house to share food, thoughts and prayers for those back home.
I was feeling guilty throwing food, wasting food here, and people there are all hungry. I was just like in tears every day. It's overwhelming.
Everyone in this house tonight is either from Leyte or Samar, the two Philippine provinces most affected by the typhoon. And everyone has a story to share.
I am Renato, and I come from Giwan, Eastern Samar. My family members have been accounted for, except for two who didn't make it.
I'm Jarin Go. Now our definition of safe now is just being alive. So that's our operational definition of being safe. I managed to contact my mom very quickly yesterday. The signal was cut off. It was very difficult because, you have several questions in your mind which you want to ask her, but you were unable to ask because the signal wasn't really good. You know, the torture, the mental torture, the anguish, it is just too much, really.
They're also furious at the way the Philippine government has handled the aid effort and fear that some of the most desperate people are still being overlooked.
I feel so frustrated and disappointed, in particular with the president of the Philippines.
A woman named Irene Reyes says that even though the aid is starting to flow, it still might not reach those most in need.
I know there were so many overwhelming aid coming from different countries, but our concern now is if it really go to the victims of this typhoon.
At the heart of these concerns is the belief that some of the worst hit areas are places that the government in Manila has always overlooked. Places like Samar.
Samar gets the morsels that fall from the master's table. That is our general feeling. And in this calamity, it happened again.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you.
Before dinner is served, everyone gathers in the front room in front of a large figure of the Santo Niño de Tacloban, the city of Tacloban's protective spirit.
In this moment when we are grieving the loss of lives, of loved ones, the loss of everything, literally. We have nobody else to run to except God, because it is not over yet. It is not over yet.
For the world, I'm Leo Hornack.